Oh, Lord Jesus, we want to give you praise today that we might listen attentively to what you got to tell us, that the love of God might be known in this place. Amen? Well, I got good news today. How many of y'all are glad that we worship a God that does not leave you begging? Remember, he doesn't leave us begging. And so we're going to deal with a contrast today. What will drive your life? Yesterday, many people graduated from universities across the United States of America. They left with a large amount of folks left with a 4-year college degree. Congratulations. Now, guess what that means now? You have opportunity. That's all that means. That is not a guarantee that your life will make a difference. That is, you've opened up to some opportunities. That's all it means. Now, what will drive you will define you. What will drive you will define you. If you're going to be a truly a confessing believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're going to say, you know what? I truly believe all my sins are forgiven. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. That's your driver. So the question is no longer, what do I want to do? But Lord, where would you put me? Where would you place me? Where would you have me? Where would you want me to be in this moment of time? Doesn't it change the direction? Well, let's look. Peter and John, remember the story. They walk through the concaves there, and there's this beggar as they're on their way to worship, you know, routine through the temple courts there. Here's this beggar. I bet, how many of y'all get used to the beggar? You know, if we were in more of an inner city church and we had to walk a few blocks to come to church today, we'd pass some homeless folks, wouldn't we? And you know what? Some of them might even become our friends. You know, every Sunday we'd flip a dollar in there and say, you know, God bless you. Get you some biscuits this morning. Or, you know, we'd get used to giving to the beggar, wouldn't we? You see, and the best we can do is sustain their position. That's the best we can do. But God can say to one who does not walk, get up and walk. Now, guess what some of y'all would do? Some of y'all going to get caught up in more in the miracle than the maker of the miracle. So we do this in American Christians. There's a lot of Christians. I mean, I went to a bookstore and they got books. 10 ways to activate God's miracles in your life. That's a hoax. You don't activate miracles in God's life. God activates miracles. And God sometimes says, get up and walk. And sometimes he doesn't say, get up and walk. But whatever he says will. In fact, there was even a book out a few years ago. I got tickled about it. God Chasers. You ought to read your Bible. If you read your Bible, you don't fall for silliness like this. In the beginning, it's the first verse of the whole Bible. So if you'll just turn to page 1 in the whole Bible, you'll get the order here, okay? In the beginning, thank you, Reverend Baldwin there. In the beginning, hello. Not in the beginning, me. In the beginning, so who's chasing who? Who's chasing who? There is no chase. Because you can't chase what you didn't make. Who made it? Who put it together? Who glorified it? Who's madly in love with us? God is. No, say it. Who's madly in love with us? And one day the world needs to hear that message in a very vibrating way. God, the creator of all things, is madly in love with human beings in Christ Jesus. World needs to hear that message. In fact, the world needs to hear that message so bad that Jesus said this about the message. Now go ye therefore and tell everybody what I've said so that they might know who I am. It's amazing. Peter and John, what do we know about Peter? Did Peter mess up a couple times as a disciple, the disciple Peter? What did he do that he's kind of known for? On the third crow of the rooster, what did Peter do? He denied. know him? What was Peter doing? Well, he did doing whatever. How many of y'all have ever done this? How many of y'all have done what? You'll say whatever you need to say and do whatever you need to do to keep yourself out of trouble. Any of y'all got that gear? As long, and what are you doing? You're saving your... Well, what was Peter doing? He said, listen, if y'all going to kill Jesus, you leave that to him, but don't get me involved in this situation. They'd already arrested Jesus, and Peter figured, hey, they got him. They don't have me. Do you know him? Mm-mm. Aren't you... Mm-mm. And third time, you mean... Mm-mm. Crow, crow. You'll deny me, Peter. Now watch this. The guy that denied him is now the guy that's standing with a beggar who couldn't walk that's now walking. Because God in any human being can do something great. God in any human being can do something great. You know what qualifies you for God to do something great in your life? Be human. How many of y'all got that down? And be receptive of the things of God. Now, let me ask you a question. Was this beggar receptive of God's activity? Absolutely. He said, get up and walk. And what did the beggar do? Got up and walked. Peter and John said, silver or gold, I have none, but this I have to give you. Get up and what? Well, they heard what God could do, and the beggar decided to live in what God could do. How many of y'all here Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday night after Wednesday night, Bible study after Bible study, all the things God could do in your life? Now, how many of y'all walk in them, or how many of y'all just listen to them? It's a big difference, isn't it? Now, I want to tell you something. I believe God can work miracles. How many of y'all believe God can work miracles? I mean, I got all that sophisticated education. I went through all that sophisticated education so I could say that I had sophisticated education and so I could tell people off with sophistication. That was my motivation to having all those letters. But here's the deal. Nobody can write the script that God has already written. And no man will ever adjust the words of God. His words will always prevail, no matter what culture says. So when God says, get up and walk, people can get up and walk. When God says, believe in me, repent of your sins and be forgiven, guess what will happen to that human being? They'll be forgiven. Now, you know what I'm looking at right here? I'm looking at the miracles. I want you to do this. I want you to look at your neighbor. I want you to really look at him. Go, uh-oh, I'm gonna kick some water. Oh, good, just water. No wine in it yet. All right, look at here, look at here. I want you to look at your neighbor and go, you're a miracle. You're a miracle. Pass it on. You're a miracle. Come on. You're a miracle. Husbands, if you got in a fight with your wife, say it real loud today. Honey, you're married to a miracle. Let them know what God has given them. A miracle. Now, hold on. You and I are the miracle, because here's what we're going to talk about today. You're either going to worship Jesus or you'll worship something else. But you and I will worship. We'll worship something. How many of y'all always got something you want? Mm-hmm. Now y'all pointing at each other. See, that means, guess what? That's a good way to point. You know why? Because we're all guilty in this room, yes? Sheriff, if you were like, the spiritual sheriff, you know what I'm talking about? Not that you're not spiritual, but I mean if you were just, working from a heavenly commission only, you'd have to arrest everybody in here for being a lawbreaker, including your own self. And it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard, isn't it? How many of y'all find it's hard to pick on somebody else when you handcuffed yourself? It's hard for me to put handcuffs on you if I got them on me. Amen. So the first thing I have to do is be released by God, by the power of Jesus Christ. Now, guess what happens? When people who can't walk start walking, this messes with people. Have y'all noticed that? It's kind of like blind people that start seeing. That messes with what? People. If somebody here in our church couldn't walk, walked in next Sunday, how many of y'all that messed with you? How many of y'all go like this? What happened? If Nathan Bolton got out of his chair and preached his sermon, you think there'd be a lot of people here next week? Why? There's one here every Sunday. It's miracles here every Sunday. But let me tell you why that's so attractive is because we really don't want to follow the miracles of God. We like the sensational of God. And that's where we miss life. God is dramatic every day. He's the author. He is the finisher. He is the perfecter. He is the artist of what? Life. He is all things. Now check this out. The people were real astonished that this beggar was walking around. In fact, they were so astonished, now they're starting to worship what God has done and not who God is. We got to be careful of that in our own lives, right? Now watch this. How many of you all are more concerned about healing than you are salvation? Apparently, the church is all into healing because where I grew up at church, on Wednesday nights, we had prayer meeting. We never prayed for lost people. We prayed for gallstones. Lord, if there hadn't been any illnesses, we'd have never lifted a prayer. And I mean, they went on forever and ever. Y'all need pray for Ms. Evelyn's corn on her big toe. Now, I'd get a visual of that and didn't want to pray for it, okay? But it was always, the prayers were always, Coach Riley, you went through that. You're a preacher's kid. How many body parts have you heard prayer requested over your lifetime? Now, when we get sick, we get serious. Have you noticed that? I always would say, man, I wish we were as concerned about people going to hell as we were people being temporarily sick. Because you see, I see the whole picture. No matter how many times you get healed down here, you will die. And if you die without Jesus, here's the way I say it so you can get it. If you die without Jesus, you're really dead. If you die with Jesus, you just temporarily transported. But you die without Jesus, man, and some of y'all go, well, I'm going to do it my way. Well, your way's hell. I mean, come on, at least wake up to that. How many of you, your own way, you found hell all by yourself? I'll show you that deep down inside, we're all sinners. What are you naturally raised, heaven or hell? How many of y'all were like me when you went to school? I know I got some great school teachers in here. But when you went to school, how many of the people, when you went to school and they gave you the rules, how many of y'all ever have to go through the rules? How many of y'all were automatically figuring ideas of how to break them as soon as they gave them to you? In fact, I had a youth pastor. I never did this. When I was a youth pastor, I never gave our kids a list of rules because I wasn't the smartest crayon in the box when I was growing up. And our youth pastor used to give us like 25 rules to go to youth camp. Well, guess what? Guess what he was giving me? Some ideas I hadn't thought of yet. See what I'm saying? If he'd have just been quiet, I wouldn't have figured out some of that stuff. But once he gave me the rule, I figured out how to break that rule. He was giving me ideas. Like he said, nobody can be on the roof of the girls' dorm. So here's what he was saying to me. There is access to the girls' dorm from the roof. Hello? Y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, I wish I could tell you that you all had a holy pastor, but you don't. I didn't go to youth camp to see Jesus. I went to youth camp to see what Jesus had made. And in a way was connected to Jesus. Because at times I go, oh, Jesus, that's good right there. That's good. That's good. See what I'm saying? Now, God, they got that problem down at University of Alabama, don't they? Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes they say, Lord, help me. Help me. All right. But watch, we get this thing confused, guys. We want to get over on one side and worship what God's doing, and God's calling out to us. No, you need to be mesmerized by who God is. They started worshiping the miracle right off the bat. Look at verse 11. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, he'd found some new friends. Isn't it interesting how he immediately held on to those kind of people that could say, get up and walk, and you got up and what? Walked. Now, how many of y'all believe this is true? Come on, I want to take a survey. Y'all believe this story is true? I do. I believe it's true. He said, well, Pastor Ayers, now go into your academic framework. Scientifically, how do you believe this happened? I'll show you scientifically. Get up and walk. And he got up and walked. Because God is not a scientist. He's a God. And so he doesn't have to explain to you how it happened. That's what scientists do. God apparently has better health care than Obama. Because all God's got to do is say, get up and walk. Obama had to get Nancy Pelosi to help him. Our health care is not as good as God's health care. Amen. Now, please don't be offended by that. I make fun of everybody. Me, the president. I make fun of humans. You know why? We need to be a little bit lowered of our self-opinion. Here's what's killing our nation. It kills your family. It kills our relationships with other people. We're arrogant. Some of y'all are so arrogant, you would demand other people to submit to you. That's what we do in this nation. It's the craziest nation I've ever seen in my life. We're the only nation that makes a minority concept a majority way of life. Whatever that is. We always look for the exception. That's not life. Life is what is true, what is right, what is noble. Not what is left out, what's brought in. It's not no child left behind. It's what children want to get in. I asked all these educators, when we did that No Child Left Behind, I said, what do you do if the child puts his feet on the floor and says, I'm not going? How many of y'all realize there's some people choose to be dumb? Y'all ever seen that? No matter what you do to them, they choose to be dumb. Y'all, anybody marry anybody like that? Be careful. Yeah, but I mean, there's some of us, we have just a stubborn will, don't we? No. Y'all ever seen a kid like that? No. You need to get over there. And what do? No. Especially a two-year-old. No. Now, back in my day, you knew you could fly. Because they flew you every once in a while. See, at 30 pounds, you can go airborne. Y'all go, no, no, no. Today we go, well, just sit right there and make your decision. I just want to enlighten some of you young parents. Two-year-olds are incapable of decision-making. Also, adults with two-year-old mentalities are equally incapable of making decisions. Okay? Eventually, your decision-maker has to grow. And so you see, these people are astonished by the height of this miracle, but they don't understand the miracle worker. They're astonished. A lot of us are astonished. So they were astonished and they came running to the place there at Solomon Concave's where all the people met. And when they saw Peter, guess what they said? How's this happening? That this man who could not walk is walking. See, they caught up in the miracle. Now hold on. I'm gonna warn y'all something. Don't ever get fascinated with what's happening, but fall madly in love with who's making it happen. Jesus. It's got to be the center driver. Does that make sense? It's the driver. The miracle is not the activity. It's the person. It's Jesus that made it happen. Who's making you happen? Come on. You're right. Who's making you happen? You're breathing right now. Who's making that happen? If he wanted to cut that off, could he? There you go. Who creates life? Jesus. Let me show you how much Jesus is into life, because worship him and him alone. Look at here. Worship him and him alone. When Peter saw this, he said to them, fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? How many of y'all are surprised that God does great things? I'm not surprised today that here in just a few minutes, guess what? Some of y'all are going to come to the altar and be saved. You know why? Because we're telling you today that Jesus Christ wants to save you. And some of you might just be crazy enough to believe it. How many of y'all find that it's better to be saved than not saved? How many of y'all give testimony to that? Johnny Mosley, has your life changed somewhat since you've been saved? Do you have headaches in the morning anymore? No, because you don't participate in the communion you used to participate in, correct? You've changed communion, hadn't you? Now, for Johnny, he went from wine back to water. God freed him of that. Only who could do that? God. How many of y'all, God's done something great in your life? Every one of you in here. See, some of you, watch this. As soon as I said that, why didn't every hand go up in the room? I've heard people even say this. Well, Pastor Steve, I don't have a real good testimony. Really? You weren't a sinner headed to hell and God dramatically snatched you out of hell? Well, I don't look at it like that. And I say, well, that's the truth. See, they think because they didn't watch this. In our culture, we have like, have y'all ever heard people say this? We got like big sins and then kind of smaller ones. Well, what do we have like compact hell and big hell? Is that what goes on here? Some of you are going, well, it'll be okay with me. I'm going to the small version of hell. How many of y'all want to go to little hell or big hell? I'd rather go to neither one of them. Amen. I know some of y'all getting nervous. I'm talking about hell. I'm not supposed to do that. It's politically incorrect today that I'm supposed to mention there's actual consequence for the way we live. I know that a lot of us don't believe that anymore. We're just going to get to heaven and we're going to sing nice songs. You know, maybe Mary had a little lamb and that gets you in. I don't know what it'll be. Or maybe God will ask you how many times you watched Sesame Street and Electric Company and they'll let you on in. Maybe you'll get to meet Bert and Ernie and that'll get you there. I don't know. I doubt it. The Bible says this. We have to have a moment with Jesus because we can't walk by ourselves, man. We can't walk by ourselves. Once you realize that, you'll start walking. He's holding on to Peter and John. But he can walk by himself because Jesus who got a hold of him. And there he stands and the people are amazed. And he says, why do you stare at this situation? Why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? You know what Peter's immediately saying? I can't do what you see. I can't do what you see. Now let me tell you something. God still heals. But I also want to tell you something equally important so nobody gets snookered. He never makes a show out of it. See, I severely questioned back a few years ago. I even saw things like this would come by my office. A miracle conference. That's very unbiblical. How to get a miracle from God. Now that sounds like marketing, not ministry. What do you think? Y'all tell me, what do you think? I've even seen on late night cable television when I couldn't sleep, I'd turn it over there to the religious comedian channel. And they would be telling me that if I sent them 1995 and got one of these crystallized crosses, the evangelist would send me back a faith prayer. That evangelist drives a Rolls Royce for one reason. You are stupid. See, because if you read the Bible, God never gets caught up in the miracle. It's always the miracle maker. I mean, if you look, Peter doesn't go, I mean, isn't this awesome? This guy couldn't walk. Now he can walk and he couldn't run. Now he can run. Watch this. Is Peter going, why don't you jump a little bit? Jump a little bit. Show him what God's done. Jump, 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 jump. Is he doing all that shenanigan jazz? Let me ask you a question. Did Peter get a tobacco sprayer of anointing oil out and blast this guy laying there? You know what I'm talking about? Y'all have seen tobacco sprayer, pump sprayer. You know, sometimes I go to all these Pentecostal churches, man, there's more oil there than there is over at Lube Tech, you know? I mean, they think, here, I'm throw some oil on people and everybody's going to get well. No, it's Jesus. And the world is not impressed with our antics. But they're mesmerized by God himself. And there's only one place to find God himself. Jesus. You know who Jesus is? God himself. God on earth has a name. Who? Jesus. God himself is Jesus. That's the greatest miracle I know. God came to earth and knows exactly how to save us. That's a what? Miracle. And you can't shut him down. Here's what I love about God. You can't shut him down. He won't go away. Peter said, let me tell you who did this. Let me tell you who causes people who can't walk to walk. Let me tell you who causes people who can't see to see. Let me tell you who causes people who stand in sin to be saved. Only one. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of our fathers has glorified his servant Jesus. And then he warns them. You went against the one that could. Hold on, I'm about to finish. How many of y'all have ever stood against the one that could? Huh? the one that could, the one that would. Amen? God has glorified his servant who? Come on, who? And he alone. So where's the action take place? Jesus. You watch this, you want to get people all worried? Listen, I'll have people come and say, Pastor Ayers, we need you to pray over this event. And then guess what they tell me though? Don't use the name of Jesus. They go, we just want you to say God. We don't want you to say Jesus. Why? Why? They don't want to disturb anybody. They're scared when I say Jesus, it disturbs people of other faith. You know what's amazing? You say Allah, that doesn't disturb me. You say Vishnu, I never get disturbed. I never get disturbed at their gods. Why? Because their gods ain't packing enough horsepower to disturb me. I noticed at 9/11, nobody was screaming for Allah. Nobody was praying to the God of their own image. Have you noticed when people get to dying, they start calling on what? You jump out of a building. I mean, didn't hear anybody going, may the God of myself help me fly. I didn't see anybody jumping out of a building going, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. When it came to dying, I had to trust the one and true God, Jesus. Jesus, what? Jesus. Jesus, save me. That's what he said right here, Jesus. Glorified his servant Jesus. You, with the help of wicked men, guess what they did? You killed the author of life. You politically arranged to get Jesus out of the way. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You made a bad decision. You killed the author of what? Life. But guess what God did? Guess what God did? You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. How many of y'all have traded Jesus in for something less than? Me too. I mean, how many of y'all told, you know, you knew what Jesus said you could have, but you settled for what you wanted. Any of y'all ever done that? Come on, work with me. Any of y'all ever done that? How many of y'all have gotten mad because you didn't like it? I mean, do you really see this isn't about like? I got to thinking about this week. You know, we don't leave behind liked ones. Have you noticed that? When we pass away, we say, man, we're separating from what? Loved ones. God calls us to be loved ones, not liked ones. How many of y'all trade in your loved one position to be liked by one position? That's a constant tension, isn't it? How many of y'all want to be liked by the world? I mean, I'm just, in my own testimony, I can tell you this. I lived that way in the beginning part of my ministry for a while. I wanted to be liked by everybody in my congregation. That'll cause you to just fall into a big depression real quick. Because guess what you find out? You can't please people. You know why you can't please people? Because we're not saved. And all of us are selfish. Watch this. I want what I want. What do you want, man? What you want, right? And what do you want? What you want? Rick, what do you want?
I want what you want.
You don't want what I want. What do you want? What about you, Mr. Rod? What do you want? What do y'all want? Anybody here married? What's your wife want? For your husband, not what you want most of the time. True?
Yep.
Now, y'all don't let your mind wander on that too long. Just think about it. True? Yeah, we want different things. How many of us want different things? But guess what? What would happen in this place if we wanted what God wanted? In our lives, we want what Jesus wants. You know what we'd see? We'd see some people that couldn't walk. we'd see some people that couldn't see start seeing. Now, I got to compliment y'all as a congregation. We've come a long way. I don't hear a lot of that stuff that I used to hear around here 10 years ago. I used to hear this all the time out in the parking lot. Well, I think the lights ought to be like this. I think the sound ought to be like this. I think. You know what I wanted to do? Preach a sermon on quit thinking. Start following. I just want to follow. And God, when I follow you, I got to realize this. We traded you in. I mean, let's really look at the trade. We traded Jesus in for a murderer. I got to thinking about this week. And I said, God, why did we do that? He said, because without me, you'll always choose death. I went, whoa. I like things that kill me. I don't know if any of y'all have ever done this, but I have used things that have warning labels on them. Y'all ever done that? I was coming back from Israel a couple years ago. I was in the London airport changing out, heading back up. And in London, you know, you got like duty free and they got cigarettes over at duty free. You know what they put in Europe over there? They don't put this, mate. It just says, kill you. It's on big letters on the cigarettes. This will kill you. Not Mike. Now in America, what do we say? I've seen this before. This product may cause cancer. Well, I look at that and I say, may not either. See what I'm saying? Now in Europe, they've adjusted that. It says, this will what? Kill you. What do we still do? Yeah, watch this. If I have a heart attack, I'll know why. Yeah. I like fried anything. Fried possum, whatever it is. If you fry it, I eat it. I believe you could go outside and get a dandelion, dip it in batter and fry it, and you'd like it. Hey, what do y'all think? Any of y'all eat like that? Huh? Now, Elizabeth, she don't fry stuff right. I mean, I like the way my grandmama fried down in Mississippi. She got that big old can of Crisco out. She knew how to make fried chicken. Boom, hit that black skillet, and you could smell the heavens coming out of that black skillet. Had real fried chicken. You know what kind of chicken I get in my house? Baked. You know what a baked chicken tastes like? A baked chicken tastes like a chicken been hit on the road and got kicked up on the manifold and spit out in about 5 minutes. It just lays there, just white. Just doesn't have any flavor. It's just like you take a bite of it and you go, huh? That's why you put all that stuff on it, to give it some kind of meaning. I mean, y'all ain't just ate chicken, have you? No. You got to spray it with 25 different chemicals to get some flavor in it. That's why God made calves, cows, for steaks. You know, I put nothing on a steak, cook it right. Have y'all noticed that? You're supposed to eat it. Yeah. You know, sometimes I eat foods I'm not supposed to eat and I don't exercise like I'm supposed to exercise. Any of y'all got that same situation? How many of you all know it's not good for you? Yep. How many of y'all have had this situation too? An overweight doctor telling you you need to lose weight. That bothers me. You know, you got some 400-pound doctor coming in after he'd been out on smoke break telling you you need to quit smoking and lose some weight. One day I want to go, really? But watch this. He's what? He's right. Watch this. Here's where I'm going with this. How many of y'all have noticed truth is truth whether you practice it or not? It is what it is. And Jesus is what it is. And Jesus is the Lord of all things. He said, you know what? You may disown him. You can try to put him away. You can try to replace him with a murderer. You can even kill the author of life. But God raised him from the dead and we're witnesses of this fact. God's been raised from the dead. How many of y'all are witnesses that God's been raised from the dead? Every one of you. How many of y'all glad to know y'all been raised from the dead? Well, look at your neighbor and tell them that's why I feel good. I've been raised from the dead. Y'all need to tell them that. You've been raised from the dead. I've been raised from the dead. Yeah, I was dead in my sin. I'm no longer dead in my sin. I have been raised from the dead. True? And let's finish up today. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him, not me, through him, that has completely healed him, as you all can see. Now, guess what? Some of y'all are going to get saved today. Isn't that great? How many of y'all glad to know that God brought some people in here today strictly to leave here strong? Yes, sir. Isn't that neat? That's cool. Now, if you're wondering, Pastor Steve, should I get saved? Let's preview that for a minute. Without salvation, y'all, here, let's be witnesses of the great resurrection today. Without salvation, what happens to human beings? You die in what? Good. Thank you. Y'all got it. Thank you all for having it, okay? What about the rest of the church? If you don't have Jesus, what happens? What about a balcony? What happens? What about this side of the balcony? Remaining silent will get you guilty either way. Yeah. What about in the back? What do y'all think happens? Good. I'm glad to see that you all can say. Most churches can't say that today. They get all worked up. Well, I don't know if there's a hell or not. I don't know how good and loving, merciful God could create a hell. He didn't. Sin, death, and evil did. And listen, you got to be absolutely clueless if you don't think there's evil in this world. Where you live? You don't believe in sin? I'll show you sin. How many of y'all believe in evil? How many of y'all have seen something evil? You live in Bowling Green, Kentucky. We had a human being rip a baby out of the womb in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Guess what that is? Pure evil. Guess where it comes from? Sin. And sin is the porthole or the portal of evil. You want to find evil? Step into sin, because it leads into all kinds of what? Evil. And guess what Jesus does? He leads us into all kinds of life. God's desire is that you be saved. I'm glad I got great news today. God desires you to not lay there, but to get up and to walk in a new way and to be filled with life and to be able to live with different consequences. Because that's what Jesus came to do, change the world. So today, if you've never asked Jesus in your life, why not today? I don't know, today sounds like a good day to be saved. What do you think? Say, why today? Every day is a good day to be saved. How many of y'all look at it like that? So here's what you got to do. You say, what do I got to do to be saved? First of all, you got to believe Jesus is the Son of God. You got to repent of your sin. You know what that means? You are absolutely, truly sorry before God for where you've been. And guess what you ask God to do? Forgive you. Guess what God does? Forgives you. Why? How do you know God will forgive you? Come on, let's go play it out. Let's go ahead and play the whole thing out. How do you know God will forgive you? Rick, you're right. What? Yeah, he said it. So, Marcia, if Jesus can say, get up and walk, and the guy gets up and walks, can Jesus say, your sins are forgiven, and your sins are what? How come he can do that? Because he's God. You got it, girl. He's God. Now, when I say, get up and walk, I can't even tell my son to get up in the morning, and he gets up. And I ain't even getting him to walk. I remember in the morning, Blake, wake up. So eventually I'd have to go up there. I said, you're either going to get up or I'm going to get you up. And that wasn't godly in how I was going to handle the situation. Time to go. But Jesus say, your sins are forgiven and they are what? Forgiven. So today I want to make that offer to every one of you. Please do not leave here today without a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, I'm praying that the Holy Spirit's making this make sense. Tell him, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I believe you died. I believe you've risen. And I ask you into my life. You'll be saved. Now, if you've done that, several of you have already done that this week. Now, guess what? You need to come forward and say, you know what? Because Jesus has saved me, because Jesus Christ has come into my life, then I'm going to take the next step of obedience. Anybody know what that is? Good. Be baptized. And why you need to be baptized? Same thing there. Jesus said what? Be baptized. He said, Pastor, is that spiritual water? No, it comes right out of the tap. The water doesn't have the power, but the name that goes in the water does. Jesus. Has this made sense today? You need to step in there and make that happen. All right, we got some people need to be saved today. That's everybody that's not saved. We got some people that need to be baptized today. Guess who that is? Everybody's not been baptized. Somebody asked me a few weeks ago, they said, Pastor Ayers, do you expect everybody in the church to be baptized? Yes. Because I want you all to go to heaven. I want you all to know Jesus. Listening to me will not get you to heaven. Listening to Jesus, when he says you're forgiven, then guess what you are? Forgiven. Make sense? All right, well, let's stand. Let's listen. Let's come forward. Let's not sit around today. How many of y'all glad you can walk? Well, then walk up here and be saved. How many of y'all glad you can talk? Then confess your sins and receive Christ. How many of y'all glad God still will? I am, and he still will today. So let him bring you forth today. Lord, thank you that we worship you and you alone. All right, now listen. If you know you need to ask Christ in your life, our pastors are up front here. We got people ministering here today. I want you to receive Christ. Tell him, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for the sin that I've committed. And Lord, I want to turn that sinful life over to you. I give it to you and I ask you to forgive me. Guess what he'll do? He'll forgive you right now. He'll forgive you right now. I ask you to what? Forgive me. He'll forgive you what? Right now. Lord Jesus, come into my life. If you've not been baptized, we want to talk to you about that. Let's get that all taken care of this summer. If you got friends, I want you to start inviting your friends. We're going to release this church. I don't know about you. I'm ready to see all the things that I've never seen. How many of y'all ready to see all the things you've never seen? I am. So guess what? I'm not going to be surprised. I'm going to follow the scripture today. If somebody that can't walk comes walking up here one day, then guess what? I'm not going to be surprised. I'm going to say, may the glory of God be recognized. Thank you, Jesus. Don't doubt what God can do. And let's let him do it right now. You know, if the Spirit's calling you, come. Let's talk about that. If you need to be baptized, let's get that taken care of. And right now, in the name of Jesus, this altar's open. And so as you come, may he touch you. Come on, church. As you come, we got people coming right now. I told you, God's brought some of you here today to strictly let you know how much he loves you. How many of y'all need to come and pray for some friends, for some family, for some loved ones, that they too would know the joy of the Lord? They would know the salvation of God. Come on, church. Come on, church. Come on, church. Trust him, church. Come on. Come on. Come on.